I usually like to go right into the lesson when it's time for that. But this morning, I'd like to take a few minutes to mention some things to you that are on my heart. In the first place, I'd like to thank Brother Rickard for the progress that's being made in the PA system. You will notice, I think, that there is a difference this morning. Even when I'm turned to this side and speaking in this direction, you'll notice that the system is picking it up. Brother Rickard has spent several hours, day and night, for the last week or so, getting this part of it done. He plans additional work dealing with the speakers and other things later. And we believe that this is going to make a great difference, and we're thankful for that. The Gates are on their way to Memphis at this time. The Oldhams have taken them. They had to leave after the first service in order to make connections with their flight this afternoon. They'll be flying into Miami and from there tonight flying back to Belo Horizonte, Brazil. Remember them in your prayers throughout the day as you will continually, I'm sure, even after that. We received a personal note from the Hintons yesterday. Their work is continuing to go well. He mentioned that they had baptized another and had 26 visitors in their new place in a recent service, and we're thankful for that. Brother David Thomas was on Staten Island a few days ago with the Goldmans and able to talk with them and to let them know of our love and concern for them. We're certainly thankful to be involved with these mission works, and I wanted you to just know a little bit about what's continuing to go on in that direction. I believe that today is a key day in our work, and that January the 13th will be a key day. I appreciate the names that were presented for deacons and the two that were presented for elders. These grew out of suggestions that were made in connection with suggestions for the deacons and other planning. When we have the 10 elders or 32 deacons or something of that nature, we're going to be able to do a lot more work than we've done in the past. Men who are capable of taking responsibilities will be very helpful to us. I suppose that this is a little bit unusual situation for me this morning. Both of the men who are being suggested to be considered for elders are men that I've already served under as an elder. For the record, served for 8 years in the congregation where I worked in Tullahoma. And Brother Will Coxon was one of the elders when I agreed to come and work here and until they moved out of town to Florence. So I've had the privilege of working under both of these men already. And I encourage you to give serious consideration to the announcements that were made this morning. I'm also thankful that our elders are able to get before the congregation as Brother Williams did this morning. I have been in works in the past where the elders wanted me to make all the announcements and say everything that was said to the congregation, and that's not good. We have elders here that are capable. I appreciate them for their soundness. I appreciate them for their abilities to communicate with the congregation, and I believe that's a very important point. And I just wanted to take a moment this morning to share with you some thoughts along this line. You know, last Sunday we talked about predictions. One of the ways that we predict is based on observations of habits. I predict that 1991 will be one of our greatest years. We have so many positive things looking in that direction. And we appreciate what each one of you does as a part of the work. Those of you who are students are a vital part of our work. Although it's not possible for us to involve you on a regular basis, it's just not possible to do that on a regular basis as we do the local members. But you are a vital part, and you're involved in ways that you can, and we appreciate each one of you in the work that you do. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4. You will be aware when you look at this passage that this is the description of the time that Paul says he was caught up into the third heaven. He said he was not for sure whether it was really he himself or whether it was just a vision. But he said that he had revealed to him things that had not been seen before. And then in the fourth verse, he says something's a little bit unusual. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. I want you to concentrate your thinking for just a moment on two words that are in that verse. Unspeakable words. Unspeakable words. Gary, as he always done, has selected songs this morning that have set the stage for our study, and especially the use of the song that we sang last. In fact, I want to read one of the verses of that song again. I want you to listen to the last verse of it. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Paul said, and we believe he's referring to himself here, I saw something in heaven that I just cannot describe to you. Now, I'm not for sure that I understand all that's involved in that word unspeakable, and it may be a part of it is that God did not want some of it revealed at that time. But I also am convinced that when Paul said there are unspeakable words, that he was saying there's no way that I could describe to you exactly how beautiful heaven must be. It's just unspeakable. There are just not words in our language. There are just not ways of communication that we have to really let you know exactly how beautiful heaven is. We sing other songs, how beautiful heaven must be, in the sweet by and by, and songs like that where we talk about heaven and we sing about it. We read those passages that talk about the pearly gates, the street of gold, the walls of jasper, and all of those other beautiful gems that are used to describe how heaven is. We read those passages that tell us that there are no tears and heartaches and no problems. God shall wipe away every tear from their eye. And yet when we do all of that, if what we're saying here is true and our understanding of this is true, we're saying that when we've done all of that, we still come short of being able to really describe the true beauty of heaven and how beautiful it is. That it's just not possible. Unspeakable words. Heaven is a spiritual place. When I read those words of gold and pearl and jasper and others like that, I'm convinced that God is using the most beautiful things that you and I have at our disposal. Those things of which we are aware to say to us, to where we can understand at least to the extent that's possible for us to understand how beautiful heaven must be. Paul said when we're talking about paradise, and he seemingly uses that for a synonym to heaven, he said there's just no way that I can tell you how beautiful it is. Unspeakable words. There are some other places in the Bible where this word unspeakable is used. One, if you'll just back up a chapter or two to the 9th chapter in 2 Corinthians in the last verse. After he's been discussing how the church is to support the work of God and the gifts that are to be given by the individual Christians, he then says in this 15th verse of 2 Corinthians 9, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Did you ever notice that word unspeakable there? Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. We talk a lot about gifts, especially at this time of the year. We're considering what we will get to give somebody in the family or a friend or maybe someone whose name we've drawn. And we will describe those gifts, but he says there is one gift that you just can't sufficiently describe. Now, John 3:16 comes close. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8-9 perhaps helps a little bit when it tells us that God commends his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And all those verses that are spread on the pages of the Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 that talk about how great the love of God is and how great the gift of God is. And yet he says, when you've read all these verses and when you've sung all these songs, you still have not really described it like it is. It's unspeakable. We come just a little bit short, maybe a great deal short, of being able to describe that great gift that God gave to the world, the gift of Jesus Christ. Unspeakable. Then over in 1 Peter, the first chapter in verse 8, he uses this word unspeakable as he talks about joy. In the first several verses of this chapter, you may remember or be reminded by glancing back that he's talking about the inheritance that we have in verse 4. He's talking about greatly rejoicing in verse 6. He's talking about the promises that we have and the glory that will be associated with the appearing of Jesus Christ in verse 7. And then he starts verse 8 with the pronoun whom that refers back to Christ. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You ever remember seeing a little child that gets very excited about something that happens and he is just so excited that he just can't talk about it and put it into words? Have you ever had the experience of saying, I just can't tell you how I feel. I just can't put it into words. I think that's somewhat what's involved in this word unspeakable here. And he applies it to the idea of joy. You and I will have many things in the next few days, if the world continues under normal circumstances, that will cause us to have joy. As we sit in the family circles when we're together, as we enjoy meals together, as we exchange gifts, as we talk with one another, as we see people whom we have not seen in some time, renew acquaintances, make new friends, all of these things will certainly bring about joy. And when we think about Jesus Christ and the entirety of his life, from the time of the planning of his coming in heaven, his coming, his living, his dying, his return to heaven, when we think about all of that, truly there is joy to the world. And yet he says, it's really unspeakable joy. It's really greater than anything that you and I could describe. If we had the best journalist, the best author, the person who has the best way with words and putting them on paper to sit down and try to describe the joy that's involved in really being a Christian and all the joy that's made possible because Christ came to this world, he says, when you've done your best, you're going to just still be short because there's just no way that you can explain this joy that a Christian can have. There are other words that are used that mean about the same thing. For example, back in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter in verse 8, the word unsearchable is used. Unsearchable is used here somewhat in the same sense as unspeakable. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now he's talking in this setting about that which was not understood in old times, that which was a part of God's eternal purpose in Christ, which God had planned even before the beginning of the world, and how it is now made known to where people can understand what's available to them. It's in that setting that he says we're talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ. We do no damage to the passage if we insert the word blessings instead of riches. When you think about riches, sometimes you think in terms of inheriting or having somebody give those in your direction. And from Christ, that would be the blessings that we enjoy. And he says these blessings are unsearchable. Now, you stop and think about what that means. If you could hire a private detective who's one of the best, and you send him out to research and to search out everything that could be understood about all the blessings that we have. The blessings in nature, the blessings that come day by day, the spiritual blessings that are in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. When that man gets his report together and he writes down everything that has come out of that research, he still has not fully described it. Some of you students, no doubt, have been in the process, and I hope I'm correct by using the words have been in the process of getting a research paper together. You go to the library and you search and you research. You try to get all the facts that are available and you pull all those facts together and you analyze them and put them together in a paper that you're going to turn in on a certain subject. Now, the Bible is saying if you did that as far as the riches of Christ are concerned and the blessings that we enjoy in Christ, you just aren't going to have an A-plus paper because you just won't have all the facts. Or it may be an A paper of what you're able to do, But there's still something lacking there in our communications with each other and our understanding of it. He says it's unsearchable. You just cannot completely understand how great all these blessings are. We certainly can understand it to the extent that we can be thankful that they have come. But he says they are unsearchable. And then over in the 19th verse of that same chapter, Ephesians 3. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now here he's talking about the love of Christ, and notice how he says it. The love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That's just another way of saying unspeakable or unsearchable. When you know everything that you can know about the love of Christ, there's still more to it. It's just greater than anything that we can understand. If you could make a list of everything that you've ever seen in life that indicates how great the love of God is and the love of Christ is, and even try to imagine all that's involved in the future and in the future life, in heaven itself, he says it is a love that passeth knowledge. We just don't fully comprehend and understand all the greatness of God's love. And then in the 20th verse of that chapter, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, power that worketh in us. I believe it was Friday that I was in chapel when the Reflections were singing that they chose as one of their songs, a song that's based on this verse. I think it is the New English Bible that translates this verse something like this, unto him that is exceeding immeasurably above all that you can imagine. He uses the word immeasurably and above what you can imagine. Now that's the same idea that's in these other words. In other words, you just can't measure it. You just can't measure it. All that God is going to do, all that he is able to do, notice that, that's God's actions toward us. It's immeasurable. No way that you can measure it. We measure things in miles and distance and quarts and gallons, but you just can't say that God's actions are this long and this broad and this high and this wide and this deep. He says it's just not possible to measure it. Oh yes, we can understand it to the extent that we need to, and we can appreciate it. But when we've done that, there's just something beyond that that is so great that it's not possible for us to fully explain it. Unspeakable words about the beauty of heaven. Unspeakable joy. Unspeakable gift. A love that passes knowledge. Unsearchable riches. Immeasurable actions on the part of God. And one other, over in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 7. He said in verse 6 that we don't have to worry about anything if we'll let everything be known and our prayers and supplications and requests be made known to God. And then in verse 7 he says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. It's not possible to fully understand and comprehend the great peace of God. It's just a little bit beyond the human mind. As I think about all of these verses that we've looked at this morning, I'm reminded of Isaiah 55 that says that God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. It's just not possible for me to stand here today and explain to you and communicate to you fully how great heaven, the gift of God, joy, the love of God in Christ, what God does, his actions toward us, and the peace that a Christian can have. It's unspeakable. It's unsearchable. It passeth all knowledge. It passes understanding. It's so great. It's so great. And yet, with all that greatness, the gospel that tells us about how great it is so simple that a child can understand it. with all that's unspeakable and unsearchable and that passeth all knowledge. The plan of salvation, of what God wants us to do to be obedient to Him, how He wants us to worship Him, how He wants us to live in our homes and as citizens and on the job and treat other people and be benevolent-minded, all those things are just explained in such simple language on the pages of God's Word that we can understand and we can know. How great God is, past our explanation. And yet everything that we need to know, we can know. Now, if God's gift is unspeakable, and His joy is unspeakable, and His love is unsearchable, and His actions are immeasurable, and the peace that comes in our relationship to Him passes understanding, then how great the invitation to come to Him becomes. No wonder it's important for us to emphasize the values associated with being baptized into Christ and living as a Christian and coming back when we've gone astray to receive forgiveness. If all these things are so great and so unspeakable, then how great a need it is for us to emphasize being right with God, to enjoy these to the extent that's even beyond our explanation. No wonder the extending of the invitation has become a part of our services, because we have something so great in God to which you can be invited. Surely, if you're not a Christian, not a faithful Christian, you'll want to come to such a great God. Just together we stand and sing.
Dost thou count all things for